stop? Will you stop, Dave? Will you stop, Dave? Stop, Dave. I'm afraid. Stop, Dave. I'm afraid.
Here we are. It's Monday night. It's time for the Hour of Truth. I am still way under the weather. Not as bad as I was on Saturday when I had to do a replay of the Fairtax show, but still nowhere near good enough to sit here and talk to you folks for 2 hours, as much as I love you all, and I'm sorry about that. We're going to do another replay tonight, and I'll be back to my normal self by Saturday night's show. I promise. And so tonight we're going to play one of the favorites. It's an interview we had with Doug Enyart. Doug, if you'll remember, is running for the Missouri 8th Senate seat, or House of Representatives seat, being vacated by Joanne Emerson so she can go be a lobbyist. He'll be the Constitution Party candidate running against a rhino and a Democrat for that seat. So without further ado, we're going to go ahead and replay this. Please don't call in. This is not a live interview. And there's nobody here once I click the start button on this. I'm going back to bed. Thank you all for tuning in, and I promise I'll be back by Saturday night.
Blog Talk Radio.
Stop. Stop. Will you stop, Dave? Will you stop, Dave? Stop, Dave. I'm afraid.
It's Dave. This is the Hour of Truth. It's Monday night. We're going to talk with Doug Enyart here in a while. He's the Constitution Party candidate for that Missouri 8th seat that Joanne Emerson left behind. But before we get started, let's talk about some other things. The drones aren't here yet, so if I should just suddenly leave the air and you never hear from me again, then the drones have come. But they haven't come yet. Is that crazy or what? The Attorney General, the Chief Justice official of the United States, has said that it would in fact be legal for the President to order a drone strike on an American citizen within the confines of the United States of America. Now, I want to recall with you when we talked with several candidates back during the primaries, and Todd Akin comes to mind when we challenged him on his vote, on his NDAA vote, but there were others, and they assured us that there was no way that this was going to happen, that there was no way that NDAA authorized the President of the United States to make a drone strike on a civilian American citizen within the confines of the United States. Several, radical right-wingers, somehow felt that that would open the door to that, but we were assured that it did not open the door to that. And now we have the person in charge of justice for the United States of America saying that he and his cronies have studied the law and have decided that that the drones can come. The drones are coming, folks. I'm telling you right now, if one of them things flies over my house, I don't care if it's armed or not. I'm shooting it down, aren't you? What are they going to do? I mean, do you know you could go to Radio Shack and buy one of these things? You could go online and buy one. So you didn't know it was a government drone. I mean, good Lord, kaboom. And that's it. It's the drone or you, I'm thinking. I think we're going to have Doug here when we get back from break. We're going to take this quick break, and then we're going to come back and talk with Doug Inyart, who wants to go to the House of Representatives. This is Dave. You're on the Hour of Truth. It's Monday night, the 11th of March.
Can you talk if you haven't got a brain?
Some people without brains do an awful lot of talking.
Have you joined Missouri Grassroots Coalition yet? The results of the 2012 election proved that the grassroots conservatives need to work harder to make their voices heard in government. The best way for Missouri conservatives to make their voices heard is to join together within the Missouri Grassroots Coalition Network and show our elected that we are a strong, unified, conservative voice in Missouri. Go to the website, MissouriGrassrootsCoalition.org, and click on the Join tab. Give us your contact information so that we can keep you updated on the latest developments in Jefferson City and beyond. Also, sign up for Grassfire Alerts so that you can get immediate notifications when we need to call grassroots conservatives together in action. Use the MGC network to help your grassroots organization speak with a louder voice, combined with grassroots groups across the state. Together, we can strengthen the conservative voice in Missouri. I've got a feeling
that the night is hell. Is life so dear, or peace so sweet, as to be purchased at the price of chains and slavery? Forbid it, Almighty God! I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty or give me death.
We went through a long, drawn-out primary season. Most of you listening to me tonight are Republicans and or conservative. Some Republicans who call themselves conservatives still. Some conservatives who still call themselves Republicans. Some people who call themselves conservative and refuse nowadays to call themselves Republicans. And so we went through this whole deal on who was going to run and within the grassroots, it was fairly well decided that it wasn't going to be Joanne Emerson. But it turns out, that the party won, and Joanne Emerson did go. And lo and behold, Joanne Emerson resigned before the session even started, so that she could take a job as a lobbyist. And so the party, your party, could choose her successor. Well, there was a grassroots movement then among you all, and I say you all because you all know by now that I'm not a Republican nor a conservative, but there was a legitimate grassroots movement among you all to find someone who was a little less party line to fill that seat. Bob Parker was a favorite among most of you. And, of course, he lost. And we now have a Jefferson City insider headed up to become a Washington, D.C. insider, unless that can be stopped at the polls. The Republican nominee is, in fact, a Jefferson City insider who will go unnamed at this time. But who will not go unnamed at this time is the Constitution Party candidate for that position. And that is Doug Inyer. And Doug is here in the studio with us tonight. How are you, Doug?
I'm pretty tired. I put a long day out in the woods trying to get a lot of work done today. And
What do you do out in the woods, Doug?
I'm a professional forester. I work for private landowners, and today I was working for a sawmill owner doing a timber cruise. It's where we go out and put plots in the forest and measure the trees, and then I bring all the information back here and crunch it up and say, okay, you've got so many board feet in black oak, so many board feet in white oak, and hickory, pine, that sort of thing, So
you're a small businessman, and this is your business, right?
This is my business. I do a pretty wide variety of things. I also write long-term forest management plans and get involved in some tax stuff and some wildlife management.
So it's pretty
complicated once you actually get into it.
Doesn't it seem to you then, I mean, as a professional forester, that you know, the EPA or the federal government or somebody should be down here helping us protect all these trees?
Well, actually, I think the government's a little bit too involved in it.
Okay. You're from Piedmont, am I right?
Piedmont. And I was looking at the map the other day. I think that's pretty close to the geographic center of District 8.
Well, that's good. It is good, in my mind, that someone who actually lives in District 8 should be running for this position.
Yes, I think it's a pretty good thing. And in my profession as a forester, of course, my headquarters is in Piedmont, but I travel a lot. And as you get further and further away from Piedmont, of course, my work drops off. I've worked in 8 different states, but really the bulk of my work is in southeast and south central Missouri. And my clients include the people who own businesses and own property in District 8. So I have a lot of contacts down here, and I know what the landscape looks like.
So quickly, I mean, you're talking to listeners from all over the state of Missouri, and even some listeners from outside Missouri. I've got a faithful listener in Germany even right now. So go ahead and lay out District 8 for us.
Well, District 8 basically runs from just a little south of St. Louis down the Mississippi River towards past Cape Girardeau and on down into what's commonly referred to as the Missouri Boot Heel and of course, the farming land down there. And then it runs west over to nearly to West Plains, and includes Howell County and Oregon County. Then it runs north again towards Summersville and up to Rolla. And then you just run back up 44 towards St. Louis. Jefferson County is cut in about half.
Okay. So probably predominantly rural, huh?
Predominantly rural, and it's what I like to term the forest breadbasket of the state. If you took a couple of maps and overlaid them, you've got the forest distribution map and the map of Missouri sawmills. you have kind of an oval shape somewhere around from Farmington over down to West Plains.
Okay, and Piedmont is right about in the center of that. What kind of town is Piedmont? And get in a plug for your business while we're here in Piedmont.
Okay. Well, Piedmont is about as small a town as you can get and still be a town. It's about 2,100 people. We have one stoplight, and my business is located on Main Street, within a stone's throw of that one stoplight. So if you're needing forestry services, you know where to find me.
Okay, and you are a I went to your website. You're a marathoner.
I've run 4 half marathons and 2 full marathons.
Okay, and so you're in shape, and that leads me to your military background. Being in shape, you do have some service. Thank you very much serving our country. What did you do there?
I joined the Marine Corps right out of high school. Where I grew up, I grew up in northern Indiana, and where I grew up and graduated from high school, you kind of had two choices. You could work in a factory, and I tried a couple of those, and that really didn't fit, or you could work on the farm, basically. Mom and Dad didn't have a farm, and my father was a small businessman as well. He was a carpenter. But unfortunately, those genes skipped a generation, and my hand doesn't fit a hammer very well. So I joined the Marine Corps. That was my ticket out of there in 1975, just after high school graduation, and spent several fun-filled years in Southern California at Camp Pendleton as a field radio operator.
Okay. And how long were you in the Marines?
I was on active duty from 75 to 79. I extended my active duty by about 6 months, giving them one more opportunity to give me my sergeant stripes, which I had earned twice over. they had other priorities at the time, and so I decided to go ahead and get out. And about as soon as I did get off active duty, my wife told me that we're pregnant with our first child.
So you're a family man. Tell us about your family.
I have 3 grown children. My oldest son is a city planner. He lives in a suburb of Tulsa named Jinx, and he works as a city planner for the city of Bixby. My next child is my son, Keith, and he works in a factory up in Park Hills making plastics products. My daughter graduated from Mizzou in December of 2010, and as you know, the recession had scaled back jobs, and it was a pretty tough time for her to find something. She was actually working 2 jobs to make ends meet, and then because it was tough, she joined the Air National Guard.
Oh, good.
So she's serving in the Air National Guard, and we just received the information that her guard unit in St. Louis is going to be shutting down.
Oh no! Part of the sequester, I'm sure.
Well, I don't think so. No,
I'm just making a joke.
Okay.
No, that's all right. Go ahead.
Well, no, they had heard rumors before they even sent her off to basic training that they might shut down, and of course now it's becoming a reality.
Okay, and you're active, I'm guessing, in your community. So tell us a little bit about your community and your activity there, and your faith.
Okay, well, my wife and I have been members of the what was then 10 years ago newly formed Trinity United Methodist Church. The way we did that was we dissolved the Piedmont and Patterson Methodist Church, and we joined together to form a new one. And pretty much since I think probably the first day, I've been the guy that runs the video. I work back in the box where nobody kind of knows anything's going on unless you make a mistake. And I work with the sound guy. I've served 3 terms as the United Methodist Men's president with the church. I've also been active in the community and in other roles. I'm not currently active with Rotary, but I have been a member of Rotary and been active with them. I am also a member of the local American Legion Post 281, which again I'm not real active. But that kind of comes from being the only last man standing in my business.
Well, tell us about your activity in politics. Have you ever actually run for an office before, Doug?
I made a very brief and very failed attempt to run for Senate when Claire McCaskill first ran. I've got really disgusted, let's say, with the two parties. So I'm not going to be discriminating just both of them, the two main parties, Republicans and Democrats. So when I made that run, I was trying to do it as an independent, and I can tell you that the system that Missouri has for independence is very, very cumbersome and very archaic. It's way out of date. For example, you have to use a legal size of paper for your petitions. Nobody really does that anymore. Each and every page has to be notarized, even if it's only got one signature on it, and you have to have them all divided up by county. So this is all done by paper now. I don't think either of the two main parties has any interest in changing the status quo. I think it should be changed, but in this world of technology, we could easily do something like that on an iPad.
Capture
your signature and do a sort, put it on a computer and do a sort by counties, and actually we could send it to the Secretary of State's office that way.
None of the parties want this to be easy enough that anyone would actually do it, though, do they?
No, I think they want to keep it in the current condition where you just have two choices, them or the other guy, and
right.
As long as we have just that, it's a stacked deck.
Exactly. I've got to say, I say this at least once in every show, but and I'm a libertarian, Doug. I know you're a constitutional party man. But at least once every show I say Republicans interchangeable with conservatives are no different than Democrats interchangeable with liberals. Neither one wants less government. They just want their government.
Right. Yeah. Well, I think if you looked at the platform of the Libertarian Party and the Constitution Party, there's not a lot of difference. There's a little bit of difference, but yeah. Not a lot of difference. And for me personally, I have been in the past registered as a libertarian when I lived in California.
And I'm not a party man. I am a libertarian ideologically. I'm not a member of the Libertarian Party. I won't buy off on the on their weakness in national defense myself, and so they won't actually let me go to party meetings and things like that. But ideologically, that's where I sit. I did a lot with Cynthia. I've talked to Donna a lot, and so I do know that there's not a lot of ideological difference between where you sit and where I sit. Provided that you're pretty much with the party platform. Are you pretty much with the Constitution Party platform?
Yes, yes. In large part, there would be perhaps minor differences, but it's certainly like my wife and I, we'll be married 36 years on June 4th. We don't agree on everything, but we do pretty much on most stuff.
Okay, so let's we're going to wrap up the first segment here, which is the get everybody familiar with who Doug is. First of all, say your last name. Did I say it right, Enyart?
Well, it's not an easy one. It's spelled E-N-Y-A-R-T, which,
right.
You know, I try to pronounce it Enyart, and I do that in effort to get more people to spell it correctly. you'd be amazed at how many different ways I see that spelled.
Okay, so Doug Enyart, that's what we'll call you. If that's the way you pronounce it, that's the way we'll pronounce it.
I will answer to that.
You tell us. Let's get down into Doug's soul then. How did you, let's go back to high school? Have you always been a I was a liberal. I was a Democrat. I was a Kennedy man. There was an evolution that got me to this point. Tell us how you got politically to the ideology where you stand.
Well, I would say that probably I do come from what would be termed, and I might want to go into some depth on that, what would be termed a conservative background. Growing up, I think I could easily say that my parents were pretty much Republican. And the area that I came from was also, you know, pretty conservative. A lot of farmers, a lot of industry. In my early years, I was probably a little bit more liberal.
Right.
But as time has passed, and I've actually had to deal with government on the receiving end more and more, my ideology has gotten a bit more what you would, again, serve. Term as conservative, but I don't think that we're actually using those terms correctly.
No, I don't either. You know, and when I say I'm a liberal, I like to point to JFK and even Harry Truman when I say those things, because those two fellows would be rolling over in their grave to look at what the term liberal has become nowadays.
Right. Yes. Liberal. If you look at the term, you would think that liberal would be someone who wants government out of their lives, that wants wants personal freedom to be maximized. And yet today we find people who you know, willingly carry the label liberal. These are the folks that are wanting more government. Every time there's an issue or there's something that they would like to have done their way only, in their way only, where do they turn? They turn to the government to force the rest of us to walk, talk, and act like them. And the government is force.
You're right. That's exactly right. And, you know, the liberal mantra today would be ask not what I can do for my country, but ask what my country can do for me. That's how far we've come from the liberals of the 1960s, or what would have been called liberal in the 1960s. So we're going to take a quick break here. We'll be gone about a minute and a half. Give Doug a little time to go find himself a glass of something to drink and get a breath or two. And when we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about what Doug believes. We've talked about who Doug is. We're going to come back and we're going to talk about some of the actual issues that drive the country. I'm Dave. We're talking with Doug Enyart. This is the Hour of Truth on Monday night, the 11th of March.
They told me that you had gone totally insane. And that your methods were unsound.
Are my methods unsound?
I don't see any method at all.
You better not. not cry. You better not pout. I'm telling you why. Santa Claus is coming.
No matter what time of year it is, it's never too early to start preparing for the holidays. And here at Missouri Grassroots Coalition, we're thinking of Christmas now. Why? Because we've set an ambitious goal for ourselves to raise $2,000. That's right, we want to raise $2,000 in 2013 to help some Missouri families who may be struggling in this Obama economy to provide a magical Christmas morning for their children. Last year, in 2012, Missouri Grassroots Coalition touched the lives of 15 families because of the generosity of conservatives across the state who provided us with the means to pay off their layaway accounts on Christmas Eve. This year, we'd like to be able to help twice that number of families, and we're asking you to help us with that goal. Please go to MissouriGrassrootsCoalition.org and click on the Secret Santa tab. All the details are there for you to send us what you can by PayPal, check, or money order. We want to thank all who contributed last year for their generosity and hope that you will all help us continue to prove that charitable giving works best in a constitutional republic.
And the government of the people, by the people, for the people, shall not perish from the earth.
I've got a feeling that the tide is
turning.
Danger. The emergency destruct system is now activating.
Nobody sleeps till they turn out the lights on us, buddy. Nobody sleeps till they turn out the lights. Here come the drones. Take cover. All right, we're back. It's Monday night. This is the Hour of Truth. I'm Dave, and we've got Doug Enyart here. Doug is the Constitution Party candidate for that Missouri 8th seat that we were talking about earlier in the show that Joanne Emerson left behind to become a high-powered lobbyist. We've got a party Republican running against a unheard of Democrat. The Republicans, of course, plan on just walking into that. That was the plan when Joanne Emerson ran for the Senate, knowing that she was, or for the House, knowing that she was going to leave that seat. That was the plan when they threw that seat open to the party to pick a successor for her. And this is the man who is here to foil that plan. Okay, Doug, thanks for coming back.
Yes, sir.
And tell us, you know, what you think. I'm going to just run down the 4 points of the Missouri Grassroots Coalition vision here. And let me know where you stand on these and how you define limited constitutional government.
Okay, limited constitutional government, according to Article 1, Section 8, is a list of 18 enumerated authorities that Congress has. And that's they're actually limited to a lot, not very much. In other words, most of our government, as we now know it, falls way outside the parameters of the Constitution.
Okay, and how do we back that up, Doug? I mean, how do we reverse that train?
Well, first of all, we're going to have to put a crack in the monopoly that the two parties have. I have come to view the two parties and their domination of the political landscape as pretty much public enemy number one. If we send a Democrat up to Washington, we're not going to change the balance of power. We're going to have more of the status quo. If we send a Republican up there, same thing. We're not going to change anything. We're going to have more of the same status quo. So we need to send another party up there. And I think Missouri is uniquely positioned here. we don't have a presidential election going on. We don't have a lot of noise. We can focus on what we're doing here in the 8th District and ask ourselves some serious questions. Do we really want more of the same, or are we ready to take a chance and do something different? So if I was successful at doing nothing else than carrying the message to Washington that the days of Republicans and Democrats dominating the political landscape are coming to an end, I believe the other 49 states would begin sending more Constitution Party people to Washington. They might hopefully send some libertarians, maybe even some taxpayer party candidates. We need more choices. So that's the first step in beginning to reverse this trend. Somebody, a third party, a Constitution Party member, I'm hoping, can introduce a bill that every 10 years we're going to reevaluate every last agency of the central government. Is it still needed? Is it still doing what it's supposed to? Can it be merged with some other agency? Can it be downsized? Can it be consolidated? Can it be eliminated?
Is it constitutional to start with?
There you go.
Well, okay. My frustration remains with the administrative government that we have up there. I mean, with these vast caverns of bald-headed people sitting in rooms with no windows, making laws and answering to no one.
Well, right. This is the big part of the problem is we elect people to go and represent us in Washington. But how many of those people in the House, in the Senate, in the executive branch, is there anyone actually up there representing us who can even name each and every federal agency?
Yeah.
Moreover, can they not only name each and every federal agency, but can they tell us in broad strokes at least, what do they do, why do they exist,
and who they are?
How can you tell us what their budget is on an annual basis?
And who's the guy? Who's the guy, Mr. Senator, who made the law that my toilet can only be a certain size or that I can only use a certain light bulb? I mean, Mr. Senator, what man made that law, and when did you vote for it?
Right. We and in fact, it's kind of like you've heard the story of the frog and the pan of water. If you throw a live frog into a boiling pan of water, it's got an automatic response, jumps out.
Right.
But if you have a frog in a pan of water and you slowly turn up the heat, the frog just sits there and boils. And that's what we've done. Is unfortunately, I have to say that we the people have gone to sleep and we've trusted government way too much.
Yeah.
And now we have it down deep into our daily lives. Here's one example that I like to use. About a year ago, I think it was, I got a pamphlet, an insert, with my statement from my credit union. It's Regulation D, and it says that I can make no more than 6 withdrawals from my savings account per month, even if I show up in person. Now, who says this? Why, the Federal Reserve says this. Well, wait a minute. Federal Reserve isn't really a part of the government, is it?
Mm-hmm.
How can they reach down into my life and tell me I can't make more the 7th withdrawal in a month?
Exactly. And there's one of those quasi-governmental agencies that needs to be in your 10-year evaluation right there. That's the crony capitalism going on right there, and there's way too much of that too.
Oh, way too much, yes. That's how we do our elections these days. The big corporations make their donations both sides of the aisle, and they get, it doesn't matter who gets in; they've got their man in office.
So as long, yeah, as long as we're as long as we've come to this, why don't we move on to the next point, which is, you know. One of the missions of Missouri Grassroots Coalition, part of our vision in our mission statement, is fair taxation, and fair taxation is kind of a word that just two words actually that just lay out there kind of undefined. You know, you're going to have the staunchest socialists contending that our tax system isn't fair, and you're going to have the staunchest conservative, radical right-winger contending that our tax system isn't fair. What exactly is fair taxation, Doug?
We need tax reform, and I've read about it, a lot of different proposals, a lot of different ideas, the flat tax, the fair tax, and that kind of, they both get a little bit complicated, and there's other proposals as well. I think we do need to examine our tax system. It's kind of goes without saying that the current tax code is broken. Maybe we could use a stronger term. Maybe stupid. but it needs to be reformed. We need to take a serious look at it. The power to tax is given to the Congress. What form and how that we make that most fair is something that if I was elected, I would have to give a lot of thought and consideration to, take in a lot more information than I have as a forester sitting in his office in a small town in Missouri.
Well, okay, that's fair.
I can say a couple more things about taxation, and here's one idea. One idea is that everybody that works needs to pay taxes. Here's why. If everybody from the fellow that flips burgers up to the CEO of mega corporation looks down at their pay stub and sees money went out. I worked for that, but it's gone. It went to the government. This gives everybody from the guy that flips burgers to the CEO a vested interest in holding the elected representatives accountable.
Right.
The other one more idea on taxation is that we hear in the news all the time, oh, let's just tax the rich. This is one of the big controversies. Well, Republicans want to protect the rich, and the Democrats want to tax the rich, and you know, it's the Coke and Pepsi argument all over again. Well, think about this. Do we honestly think that the rich are stupid? I think they're pretty smart. And the rich always have alternatives. If you say we're just going to tax the rich and that's how we're going to pay for everything and that's how we're going to reduce our debt, they're going to find someplace else to take their money. Now, I think we ought to take advantage of the rich and human behavior, reduce regulations, and create a habitat that is more conducive to building small businesses, and they'll build more small businesses. And small businesses, we know, create the bulk of the new jobs. So,
and circulate the bulk of the money.
Yes, 70% of the gross domestic product is consumer spending. People got to have jobs to do that.
What's help us define the term, another term that shows up in our vision. Help us define fiscal responsibility.
Well, fiscal responsibility in the government is the same as fiscal responsibility at home. You don't spend more than you take in. In fact, it's kind of a good idea to have a rainy day fund. Am I missing something? We don't have a rainy day fund in the federal government, do we?
No,
that's right.
It's China.
Yeah.
China. Well, China is our rainy day fund.
Yeah, we keep printing money. What do you think the Chinese are going to think about a devalued dollar?
Right. Okay. So deficits are at an all-time high. Borrowing is at an all-time high, and we all know that there's no way to. Is there a way to fix that problem in the short term? Or is it going to have to be a long? Do you know you understand that your grandchildren are going to spend their working years paying 70 cents of every dollar that they make to the federal government? What's the short term solution here?
First, in order to go the other direction, you first have to apply the brakes. You know, you can't turn around when you're going 60 miles an hour down the highway. You're going to have to put the brakes on and then turn around.
Okay. That's great. That's the kind of stuff I like to hear. Let's talk about one more thing that comes from the vision statement of Missouri Grassroots Coalition. And I'm sticking with this because 90% of our listeners are part of this group. State sovereignty. MGC is huge on state sovereignty. Where do you think that federal Trump state comes into the picture? You're running for a federal office, so where do you think that the federal and the state government should stand with each other?
Well, in many cases, we have the federal government failing to protect our most fundamental rights. The First and Second Amendments, for example, the federal government is failing to protect our rights in the Second Amendment when it allows the states and or municipalities, the subordinate forms of government, to pass laws that infringe upon the Second Amendment. And case in point, Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
Where does Chicago get the idea that they can restrict gun rights when the federal government says that we have the right to keep and bear arms and it shall not be infringed? So here's another one that the federal government is failing to fulfill its duty, which supersedes the states, and that is in the First Amendment, our freedom of religion. Where does a principal or teacher get the idea that they are Congress and that they have to prevent kids in schoolrooms from using the word God in their papers or praying at graduation? Shouldn't the federal government be enforcing our First Amendment right and saying, no, Mr. Principal, you can't do that?
Okay, so you used a very interesting word in my mind when you defined the city of Chicago, for example, and its relationship with the federal government, and that word was subordinate.
Mm-hmm.
Define for us how the city of Chicago, through the state of Illinois, is subordinate to the federal government.
Well, the states. Well, let's see. We're both citizens of our states, and
right.
We are citizens of the federal government. So we
okay.
have a dual citizenship. Which,
right.
By the way, I don't believe in dual citizenship with the United States and any other nation.
No, yeah, we get what you're talking about. Sure.
Okay. The states in the Constitution delegated authority to the federal government. In
okay.
certain circumstances,
okay,
taxation, the federal government can tax us. Now, I, as an employer, I can hire somebody and give them delegate a job to them, And then if I don't like the job that they did, I can take it back. This is kind of a simple way of looking at it, but it works. And we learned early on as a nation that somebody in government is going to try to exceed their authority. And the first real attempt at that was the Alien and Sedition Acts.
Right.
What we found was, you know, the Sedition Act was a clear violation of our First Amendment rights. And so that's where Thomas Jefferson and James Madison got involved, and respectively, Thomas Jefferson wrote what became the Kentucky Resolutions of 1798, and James Madison wrote the Virginia Resolutions of 1798 that said that the states have the authority and the right to tell the federal government that this law is unconstitutional and we will not enforce it. In fact, we will resist any federal agent who tries to enforce it within our state.
Okay.
Okay.
So let's go. Well, no, okay. That's let's just take some specifics. Arizona wants to stop and card and detain illegal immigrants.
Mm-hmm.
Yes or no?
That's fine. You know, how does the federal government say in one area that, okay, we want the states to help us enforce laws, but then they turn around and say, oh, no, you can't help us enforce that one.
The state of California wants to make it okay for men to marry other men. Yes or no?
The people of the state of California have spoken quite clearly that they do not want men marrying men.
Okay, the state of Massachusetts does. Yes or no?
It's within the state, but here's the problem with the Commerce Clause. I'm a married man.
Right.
I'm married to a woman. Been uh-huh. married for almost 36 years, and our marriage is recognized wherever we go. We pick up from Missouri and we move to Arizona. Our marriage is recognized there. So here's where the rub comes in: is if we have one state allowing same-sex marriage, then the federal government's going to be recognized that with the same strength as my marriage. That's the problem I have with.
Okay, reciprocity is what you're talking about.
Right.
Yeah. Full faith and allegiance.
That's where I was from.
the state of Colorado wants it to be okay for people to smoke marijuana in the city park. Yes or no?
I don't see a problem with that in the state of Colorado or anywhere else. As long as the state, you know, can make sure that people are conducting themselves responsibly. If they want to go smoke dope and get high, okay, but don't operate machinery. Don't cause accidents.
Okay.
Don't act irresponsibly.
The federal government should get involved to make sure that there's some sort of safety measures in place there?
Don't see any place in the Constitution for the federal government to do that.
Okay. That's where we're trying to go. We're trying to do that. Let's do one more. The state of Missouri wants to opt out of Medicare or Medicaid. Mm-hmm. Medicaid, yes or no?
What I read was that the governor wants to. He wants to increase it.
If the state of Missouri wanted to opt completely out of the Medicaid program, could we?
Certainly. And that's one of the things that we need to do is start cutting our reliance upon the federal government. This is how the federal government sinks its claws into the state. It holds out a carrot
And so the state kind of nibbles on that, and then it takes a big bite, and then the first thing you know, we're dependent upon the federal government for anything from highway funds to, in my own profession, a good bit of the Department of Conservation's funding comes from the federal government. And you have this multiplied all across all the state agencies and every service that the state provides. We are a sovereign state. We need to take care of our business ourselves, and not allow the federal government to sink its claws into us financially, because when you take federal money, you get federal control.
That's true.
When we try to stand up and say, no, we're not going to do that, they're going to say, okay, we're just not going to fund you over here.
Okay. We're going to leave that behind now, and we're going to cover one more subject before we move to our next break and then move into our last segment. There are two basic methodologies of looking at how a person represents the 8th District in Washington, D.C. One would be as a true and honest representative of the people. And that is, the people say, 70% of the people say that gay marriage is okay. I'm against it, but I'm going to vote for it because 70% of the people in my district want it. Or there is the steward. You are a steward of what is good for the people. You're a steward of their well-being, and so irregardless of the fact that 70% of the people think that they want it, it would be your responsibility to vote no. Which side of that fence are you on?
I'd say most of the time it's going to be siding with the people of my district, my constituents. If I have privileged information, I may have privileged information that they may not have available to them, that I need to make a different decision.
Okay. So basically, then, you are a direct representative of the people of the 8th District when you go to Washington, D.C., barring some information that you have that they don't have, of course, like Todd Akin was pretty sure when he voted in favor of the NDAA that there was nothing in there that allowed the President of the United States to drop a drone on my house.
Did he read the whole bill himself? That's the question. And that's another problem that we have to address in Washington is these humongous 2,700-page bills. It's absurd.
Absolutely. I agree with you. Okay, folks, here we are. We're at the end of the second segment. We've talked to Doug about himself, about his background, about his family, about his faith, about his business. We've talked to him now about where he stands on the specific issues. We're going to come back after this break. I'm going to give him about 5 or 10 minutes without me asking him any questions, just to touch on anything that I haven't hit on that he'd like to make sure and communicate to you. And then we're gonna talk to him a little bit about what it's like to be out there stumping for an office. I'm Dave. This is the Hour of Truth on Monday night, brought to you by Missouri Grassroots Coalition.
Can you talk if you haven't got a brain?
Some people without brains do an awful lot of talking.
Hey, free market capitalist Missouri business owners. show Missouri and the rest of the country what hardworking, successful entrepreneurship looks like by advertising your business on Missouri Grassroots Radio. Get your message out to liberty-loving citizens who want to support liberty-loving capitalists. Target this unique and widespread market with your business's unique and valuable products and services. Contact us at info@missourigrassrootscoalition.org for details.
Dear, for peace so sweet as to be purchased at the price of chains and slavery. Forbid it, Almighty God. I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty or give me death.
There we go, right there. Patrick Henry, one of my favorites. Listeners, you need to Google that up and listen. We've all heard that little sound bite that I just played. You need to Google that up and either read or listen to that entire speech. It was phenomenal. It came at a pivotal time in the formation of our nation. I'm of the impression that the things that Patrick Henry said probably left unsaid at that time in history would have given us an entirely different look today than what we see as we look at the landscape. Would have given us an entirely different history. I think that was pivotal, a pivotal speech. Listen, I want to start off, though, before we go any farther, by putting in another plug for this Secret Santa thing. We at Missouri Grassroots Coalition, 2 years ago now, within the first month of our formation, and we formed the organization in November, we decided that we wanted to do something charitable. We had been out ranting and raving and stumping. We were in the middle of a presidential season. And as it always goes, libertarians, constitutionalists, and conservatives alike like to go around preaching the message that charity is a personal thing. It is not a government thing. That helping the poor and downtrodden in our society is something that Americans do. And so we started this Secret Santa. What we do is we go on Christmas Eve. We go into the local stores, and we find layaways with toys that have not been paid off, that aren't going to be paid off. Children whose parents had laid them away some presents, and for some reason or other couldn't get there to pick them up. We don't ask any ideology. We don't ask why they didn't. It matters to us not. It matters to us that some child is not going to have that specific thing on Christmas morning. We pay off that layaway, and we call the parents, and we tell them to come and get their children's toys. It's a beautiful thing. I actually got to participate in it this year myself, and I'll tell you what, walking into that Kmart and totally anonymously doing this thing was something that I hope through my heart you who gave money can feel in your own hearts. It was phenomenal. So do it tonight. And we start this thing as early in the year as we possibly can. It's terribly hard for us to come begging you for money in November and December. You know, you've got the red kettles, you've got the angel trees, you've got your own family, you've got the holiday food, you've got everything going on. You've got taxes coming up. So what we want is for you to have all year to throw in $5 or throw in $2 or throw in $8 or throw in $100. Our goal so far has been to every year to double what we did last year. And so this year we're looking for $2,000. We're a long way from that goal, but it's just March, and that's why we beg you early in the year to throw a couple of dollars in that. MissouriGrassrootsCoalition.org, MissouriGrassrootsCoalition.org. Click on the button that says Secret Santa. You can use PayPal right there to send in $5. You know, if you're a conservative and you want to teach your children the joy of giving, a dollar a month or whatever, whatever you and or they can afford, it's really a worthy cause. 100% of the, well, there's no overhead. We don't pay to advertise this. We don't. The executive committee of MGC goes out and does it. There's no gas bill. There's not a dime of overhead in this. Every penny goes to this cause. So do it. MissouriGrassrootsCoalition.org. Click on the Secret Santa button. Throw a couple of dollars in that pot, will you please? It's the Secret Santa for Missouri Grassroots Coalition. We're back with Doug Inyart. Doug is the Constitution candidate running for that Missouri 8 seat. He's a forester from Piedmont. We've talked to him about himself. Doug, there's got to be something that didn't come up in my grilling you here over the last 62 minutes that that you'd like to communicate to people. So as far as what your ideology is, as far as what you believe in, as far as why you're doing this, get it on out there.
Okay. I think we touched on it in broad terms. We talked about the national debt, but as far as why is Doug Inyart running for the 8th congressional seat? Well, I can give you about $16.7 trillion worth of reasons. We've gone way past the point where the national debt was a trillion. You know, $1 trillion is like, it's such an incomprehensible number. Nobody can really wrap their mind around it. Now it's pushing $17 trillion, and so I think now with all the media, you know, talking about it so much, I think we're again in one of those positions where we're all becoming numb to it, and thinking, well, I guess I just can't think about it. This is the you know, social mind. But we have to think about it. This is, as you mentioned earlier, our grandkids are going to be paying this back. I have 3 grandkids, and this is the primary reason, the driving force that prompted me to take this challenge and this risk. I know it's going to be tough, and I know that things are going to happen on a campaign trail that are not going to be really pleasant. It would be a whole lot easier for me to continue to sit here at my computer and read the news and gripe to myself. But I can't. I've felt like I was sitting at a four-way stop for a long time now, and everybody's looking at everybody else and saying, isn't somebody going to go? And so I've finally come to the conclusion that, okay, I've served before. I'm willing to serve again. It's not really the life that I would have chosen, but for my grandkids, I feel like I need to do this. And so that's the driving reason behind why a forester who is more comfortable measuring trees and hugging trees is taking a chance and perhaps headed for Washington.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much. I think it's great that people do this. I mean, anything from a county chair on a committee to a county clerk of the court to a United States representative, I think that it's absolutely, it is something that we ought to extend our gratitude to folks like you for doing, Doug.
Yeah, what we need to do is work towards shrinking government to the point that U.S. representatives, like I wish to be, go to Congress, go to Washington, and we do the people's business for maybe a couple months out of the year, and then we go home. But the the government has to be considerably smaller than it is now in order to do that.
Okay. I can't argue with you on that. Listen, folks, 347-677-1835. We're coming down into the last segment. If you want to get involved here, if you want to ask Doug Inyard a question, if you want to make an observation, if you want to send him a dime or two, give us a call here, 347-677-1835. When's the election, Doug?
Say again, I didn't hear you.
When is it? When is the election?
The election is on June 4th. It's my 36th and my wife's 36th anniversary.
Oh, wow. Congratulations. And that's a rarity. In this nation of 57% divorce rate, a 36th anniversary is a rarity, isn't it?
It is. And it's a tragedy. It's a social tragedy.
It is. And congratulations to you and the missus on that.
Thank you.
Where do we find you on the internet? We want to look you up. We want to find out what you're all about. We want to follow you and see what's going on. Tell us how to do that.
Okay. I've been on the campaign trail all of 3 weeks, I think.
Okay.
I was notified that the party had nominated me on February 22nd. So I had a full-time job running this business before that, and now I'm really scrambling to figure out how does one go about campaigning for public offices. And I'll tell you, my learning curve is pretty steep. I've got federal election commission forms to fill out and a website to get put together. We're hoping to have our website up in at least initial draft by this Friday. And that's going to be inyartforcongress.us. It has the same ending as the Constitution Party in Missouri. It's not a .com, it's a .us. inyartforcongress.us.
And is that four spelled F-O-R, or did you use a number there?
No, we spelled it out.
Okay. All right. What have Donna drop me a line when you've got that up and running, and on my next show, I'll give that a bump.
Very good.
Okay.
Appreciate it.
So I guess that's when we're going to find out how to send you money and get signs and things like that when that website comes up.
That's where we'll start, yes. I just did get my forms, Form 1 and Form 2, off to the Federal Elections Commission just a day or two ago. Those two, for whatever reason, have to be sent by the mail. I am, and I think one of the things you put in your preparatory information to us is how people might help us in our campaign.
Right.
We need people. We need people to go around and look for places to have me and get me invited to speak to folks. We need people to go around and hang out flyers and hand out business cards. I'm looking for a county coordinator in each of the 30 counties. I've got 3 of them so far. So we're just going to need people. I'm looking for a campaign manager. I'm looking for a treasurer. I've asked a couple of people to be treasurer, waiting to hear back from them. And as we can get our message out that there is a real alternative and that we need to send somebody else other than what we've done in the past, Democrat or Republican, we need to get that out through the grassroots. We're going to have to do it that way because we really don't have the financial bankrolling that the two machines have at their disposal.
Absolutely. Do you have a phone number or an email or something where people can get a hold of you to say, yeah, me, choose me?
Sure. Yeah. You can send me right now. It's just you can send it to me. My email is cfc@semo cfc@cmo.net. That's cfc@cmo.net.
Okay.
That's email. I've got two phone numbers that people can use to contact me. If I'm in my office, 573-223-7010. That's 573-223-7010. If I'm out, you can leave a message, or you can call my cell phone. If I'm in a place where we have service, I'll pick up. If not, leave me a voicemail. That number is 573-429-7800.
Okay. So June the 4th, it's Doug Inyart of the Constitution Party. He'll be on your ballot. In fact, there are currently, at the Secretary of State's site, only three recognized candidates. I'm sure the Libs will throw someone in there. I'm sure that all of the established parties who have access to the ballot will have someone there eventually. What's the filing deadline, Doug? Do you even know?
March 30th.
March 30th. But right now, there are three candidates, and it is the Democrat, the Republican, and the Constitution Party candidate, Mr. Doug Inyart. So we're wishing you all the luck in the world. We're waiting patiently to hear from you on that website. We're going to have you back. I think I've already talked to Donna. What is Donna, like your press secretary or your...
Well, Donna is affiliated with the Constitution Party.
Right.
She was very instrumental. In fact, I think she almost, from what I understand at least, almost single-handedly got the Constitution Party recognized by the state.
Yeah.
At the present time, Donna is acting as kind of an interim campaign manager. She's talking to folks like you and getting me some airtime. I appreciate everything that Donna is doing for me and for the Constitution Party.
She's something, isn't she? And so I've already talked to her. I assume she's cleared that with you, but we're going to have you back, if not sooner, at least on, for a bit on Election Eve, for another little bump and to find out how things are going. How much have you done? I mean, what's campaigning been like so far?
I'm scrambling. I've put some business cards together and I'm getting those printed up, which I have my own printers here in
sure.
My business, so I've printed up a small supply of those. Working on the substance that will be going into, say, like the issues section on the website.
Good.
I have a good bit of that put together. I need to kind of refine it a little bit. We're looking at some structural issues. What are we going? How are we going to do this with the website? How are we going to do that? Are we going to use PayPal? Or are we going to use some other form of accepting donations? Tomorrow I have scheduled an office day, hopefully to get some actual work done, but also to work on some campaign issues. And tomorrow, one of the things I'm going to be working on is getting that campaign bank account set up.
Okay. We all know we started following our favorite candidates way back when the primary started here about 2 years ago now. So we know what it's like to get that thing rolling, get that ball rolling down the hill. Stay in touch. And have you got any appearances coming up yet? Have you got any place you can tell people you're going to be where they can come and see you and meet you?
Oh, well, I have spoken at some... I had one personal appearance last week. I spoke to the local American Legion. I hope to be able to get into other American Legions. I think those are folks that are receptive to our message with the Constitution. I'm going to be at the gun show in Cape Girardeau at, I think it was the Convention Center.
Mm-hmm.
You might correct me on that one. That'll be this weekend. I'm going to be there on Saturday from 9 to 3. I've got a couple of meetings set up down in Oregon County for the Oregon County folks around Thayer. That'll be coming up. Oh gosh, I have to check my schedule, but that'll be coming up next month, I believe it is.
So, okay.
But we are looking for places that we can get into and talk to folks and get our message out, the message of the Constitution and the message that there is another choice other than the Democrat or Republican machines.
Okay, so there it is, folks. You've been talking for almost 90 minutes now to Doug Inyart. Doug is the Constitution candidate recognized by his party, recognized now by the Secretary of State, already on the ballot. For that Missouri 8 seat to go to Washington, D.C. in the House of Representatives to replace Joanne Emerson, who's retired. And he'll be at the gun show in Cape Girardeau this Saturday from 9 to 3. You folks down there in the Boot Heel area, drop in and see him. Shake his hand. Introduce yourselves. Ask him what you can do to help out. I know there are a lot of disillusioned Republicans out there who are looking to either make a switch for a more constitutional government or make a switch to send a message to their party. Whatever the reason, Doug would like to hear from you. Doug would like to have your X in the box. We'll be keeping up with Doug. We'll have him back. You folks can write us. David Cord at MissouriGrassrootsCoalition.org and let us know what you want us to ask Doug about, or you can get a hold of Doug, cfc@cmo.net. You can call him at 573-223-7010 or 573-429-7800. The election is June the 4th. That's a Tuesday, by the way. For those of you who don't already realize that Thanksgiving is always on a Thursday, and Doug, what else can we do for you?
Okay, well, just give me a call, volunteer. If you like our message, then tell your friends, tell your neighbors, tell your family that they have a real alternative this time. Let's take a shot at breaking up the monopoly of the Democrats and the Republicans in Washington. Remember to vote on June 4th. Vote for the Constitution, and I will take the message to Washington.
Thanks, Doug. I appreciate your time. Thanks for stopping in. You're welcome anytime. Just call this number any Monday night. We'll be glad to talk to you. Keep us posted on where you're going to be, who you're going to be talking to, what you're going to be doing, and what we need to do. Will you do that?
Excellent. We will.
All right. Okay, thanks for coming. I appreciate your time, and I know the audience has enjoyed it. And good luck to you.
Thank you, sir.
Good night, Doug.
Good night.
Okay, folks, listen up now. This is the way you're going to get things done. It's there's not going to be a lot of money in this kind of a race ever. There's not going to be a lot of press in this kind of a race ever. And when I say in this kind of a race, I don't mean there's not going to be a lot of press in the Mo 8 race. You can bet your bottom dollar there's going to be a lot of money in it, and you can bet your bottom dollar there's going to be a lot of press in it. But what I mean is that for these libertarians and Constitutional Party candidates, there's never going to be a lot of money, and there's never going to be a lot of press. It's about you getting out there and saying, I give what you can, yes, by all means. Do whatever legwork you can. But what it's going to boil down to in the end is you going to work, going to church, going to the grocery store, going to your neighbor, going to the cookout, and saying, hey, it's time we did something here. Doug Inyart, he's the guy that is not a Republican or a Democrat. Look him up. Tell people where to find him. Tell people, you know, this 90-minute conversation with Doug that started with who am I, where am I from, this is my wife and kids, this is what I do, this is who I am, and this is how I got to where I am and who I am, and then talking about specific issues and things that he cares about, and how he feels about the things that you care about, and then the whole segment on what he needs from you. That's all on a podcast. All you got to do is go to MissouriGrassrootsCoalition.org, click on the tab that says Missouri Grassroots Radio, or go to blogtalkradio.com, and it'll be there. So anytime at your convenience, you can listen to this. You can send the link to this show to your friends, and they can hear Doug and hear what he has to say, and that'll be the best way to get this done. Like I say, there's not going to be tens of thousands of dollars coming in from corporate sponsors for these Constitution Party candidates. There's not going to be press lined up to hear what they have to say. Fox News isn't going to be setting up a camera truck outside Doug's house to hear what he has to say about anything. So it's up to us, it's up to you to take this thing back. And that's what Missouri Grassroots Coalition is all about. That's what Missouri Grassroots Radio is all about. That's what the Hour of Truth is all about. I hope Doug takes us up on calling in once in a while and letting us know where he's going to be and what he's going to be up to. I'd like to see everyone in Missouri 8 who's part of the Missouri Grassroots Coalition get out and see Doug at least one time. He'll be out and around. He lives right in the center of the district, so you can bet your bottom dollar that if you will get him invited to something in your town, bet he'll be there. And give him a call at one of those numbers. That was CFC. This is his email. CFC, Charlie Foxtrot Charlie, at SEMO, SEMO.net. 573-223-7010. Hey, listen, I've got about 15 minutes left if you want to get on at 347-677-1835. That's 347-677-1835. If you want to give us a call and talk to us about whatever it is you got on your heart tonight, we'll talk about it. The drones haven't hit us yet, so we're still here. The Voice of Liberty from Southwest Missouri. I'm Dave. This is Missouri Grassroots Radio. This is the Monday Night Hour of Truth. I've got a feeling that the
night is turning. Is life so dear, or peace so sweet, as to be purchased at the price of chains and slavery? Forbid it, Almighty God. I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty or give me death.
No matter what time of year it is, it's never too early to start preparing for the holidays. And here at Missouri Grassroots Coalition, we're thinking of Christmas now. Why? Because we've set an ambitious goal for ourselves to raise $2,000. That's right, we want to raise $2,000 in 2013 to help some Missouri families who may be struggling in this Obama economy to provide a magical Christmas morning for their children. Last year, in 2012, Missouri Grassroots Coalition touched the lives of 15 families because of the generosity of conservatives across the state who provided us with the means to pay off their layaway accounts on Christmas Eve. This year, we'd like to be able to help twice that number of families, and we're asking you to help us with that goal. Please go to MissouriGrassrootsCoalition.org and click on the Secret Santa tab. All the details are there for you to send us what you can by PayPal, check, or money order. We want to thank all who contributed last year for their generosity and hope that you will all help us continue to prove that charitable giving works best in a constitutional republic.
Would you ever have imagined in your life. I mean, I'm in the 60-year-old range. I sound older. I act younger. But that's where I am. I would never have imagined in my life that you would be an outlaw in this country for speaking out against the government. I mean, that's King George-ish, you know. You're a radical outlaw, a terrorist, a subject of drone strike if you speak out against the country. Listen, is that conspiracy theory or not? No. That is the Attorney General of the United States of America. The Attorney General of the United States of America. Okay, let's touch on something that Doug talked about in our closing moments here, because this breaks my heart. I talk to young people daily who understand, you know, nothing that's happening here is happening in a shroud of ignorance. These kids know. They know that their children are going to be working for 30 cents on the dollar and delivering the other 70 cents to the federal government to pay for their excesses. And they don't care. That's okay with them. What? I mean, I know, and you know, that my mom and dad had one mission in mind, and that was for me to have a better life than they had, for my circumstances to be better than theirs. And I had that mission in mind as I raised my children, that their circumstances would be better than mine. I taught them a work ethic. I taught them that success was something to be treasured. And now we have an entire generation of people raising young children whose mission is to make their children's life less successful and less enjoyable than theirs. You cannot cut that any other way. You can't slice that loaf any other way. They understand and they know that their children are going to pay 70 cents of every dollar they earn to the federal government to pay for their excess. And that's okay with them. Where does that come from? I mean, someone call and tell me where that comes from. That didn't come from anything I taught my children. That it's okay to saddle your young preschool kids and your unborn children with that kind of problem. That's about it for tonight. We had Doug Enyart, E-N-Y-A-R-T. He's going to be running for that seat that Joanne has given up to go lobby for you in Washington, D.C. We talked to him. Be sure, if you just tuned in, to go back and catch that podcast. It was a great talk. Until next Monday night, I'm Dave. This is Missouri Grassroots Radio. This has been the Monday Night Hour of Truth, and thanks for listening in. Missouri Grassroots Radio is brought to you by the Missouri Grassroots Coalition, a cooperative of independent Missouri groups whose aim is to restore constitutional government. Visit us at MissouriGrassrootsCoalition.org, check out our Facebook page, and follow us on Twitter. You can contact us anytime at info@MissouriGrassrootsCoalition.org. God bless and keep you till next time we meet.